if you are a guest, I hope you'll come back and hear the preacher. He's a good preacher. Okay, he's marginal. Let me say that. Because y'all got, you know, I had like five people say amen. So your preacher's a good preacher.
Amen.
Your preacher's a strange preacher. I'm going for amens. Okay. Because I'm going to be preaching about giving, and some of you who are guests are like, every time I go to Baptist church, all they talk about is giving. Well, today you came on a good day. We're going to talk about giving today. We have looked at this week through the scriptures. The first thought we looked at is what constrains you. What is it in the world? What is it in your life that constrains you and causes you to action, drives you to action? The next thing we looked at was, does your life become the gospel? So does the love of Christ that should constrain you according to the scriptures, does it drive you where your life becometh the gospel? And we talked about how that becoming means that there were several ladies in here this morning, they're dressed very nice. So several means I'm not looking around trying to see. I just can tell there's several ladies dressed very nice and it's very becoming. So if you looked at your life, does the gospel look becoming next to it? And then the next and the last thing we looked at on Friday night was, does your giving reflect your sincerity, the sincerity of your love for God, or what does your giving show the sincerity of? So do you give out of that love that constrains you? And so today and this evening, we're going to look at dual passages to kind of put this together now in Philippians and Corinthians to show you there's a consistency in the message concerning giving. We're starting this morning with the idea, because this is a missions conference and really the last big service of the missions conference. And when I say that, I mean that usually some missionaries leave. And so this is going to be maybe your last contact with some of them. Some have already had to go on to other places. But we're going to talk specifically about why missions giving matters in the big scope of the sincerity of your love, or what it proves. So if you just give tithes, that's right. But I think the preacher said this, and he's absolutely right, and I'm going to use it from now on, because I have no problem stealing things. In fact, if you've ever had an original thought, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So you've never had an original thought. So, but he said this. He said, you're not really giving offerings until you're giving to missions.
Amen.
That tithe is just what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
And I agree with that.
Amen.
That's 100. And if we would all get that mentality and get away from, I'm giving to a church, I'm giving to a movement, that's when you give charity. When you're giving your tithe, you're giving back to the Lord what's already His.
Amen.
He gave it to you, and you're just giving back. Now, I've actually, and this just came to my heart, so I'm just going to say it before we get very much deeper into it. I've actually had conversations where a man or a husband or a wife would say, after one of these meetings, would you pray for my husband? Would you pray for my wife? That they will get the heart for giving, and that he or she, especially usually it's he, would get the heart for tithing. So I'm going to tell you what the heart for tithing is. It's O-B-E-Y.
Amen.
Obey.
Amen.
If you don't have the heart for tithing, you do not have the heart to obey. This is like baptism. It's the next thing I do. Why? Every little kid, I just had a little girl come to me. She said, Pastor, I got saved and I need to be baptized. I said, well, why do you, I asked them all the question, why do you need to be baptized? She said, so I can partake in the Lord's Supper. I said, but why do you, I said, well, that's good, but why do you need to be baptized? I had one little girl tell me because, and her mom and dad are split. She said, because I need my dad to know that I belong to this church and I shouldn't be going to other churches. I was, well, that's good too. But why do you need to be baptized? And they all come to the same agreement, because I'm obeying. It's part of obedience.
Amen.
Following the Lord is what we call it in baptism. Well, check this out. We're just simply following God's plan when we tithe.
Amen.
And that's really all I'm going to say about tithing, because the rest of this message is about missions. So why do we give to missions? Why does it matter that we give to missions? Well, I'll tell you, just first of all, we just heard a man, so that I heard Brother Sandella's message, but I just want you to know that he's a soul winner. You know why? That's what he talked about. No matter where he is, he's a soul winner. So you know what I know he's going to be in Czechia, whatever it is?
Czechia.
Yeah, see, I'm old. I'm used to Czechoslovakia and the Czech Republic, but okay. So in the Czech, you know what he's going to be doing there? He's just going to be soul winning.
That's right.
Why? Because it's important to him. Well, that was important to Brother Paul as well. So Paul was spreading the gospel all over the world. So take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter number 4. When you get to Philippians chapter 4, before we stand, I want you to flip back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, because we're going to tie these. I have three messages. I know this is scary. Three messages in one this morning. I'm taking from three messages and putting this together because the Lord, as I was studying for this missions conference, just brought this, made me aware that the consistency of the message. So I don't have to go to one place to gain the message. This is the message that was taught from the beginning of spreading the gospel. But what you need to know was there was only one church that really got it. One church really got it. And we're going to be associated with that church. Wouldn't it be awesome if you were the only church that really got what God wanted us to do in spreading the gospel? If the testimony of this church was this, man, I went to that church, they really get about spreading the gospel. They get it. Soul winning, they're out soul winning, but not only that, they're supporting missions. I'm telling you, they really get it. Their offerings are right. Their people are right. People are involved. People are excited. When missionaries come in, they flock around them and greet them. I love it to see the kids talking to the missionaries. Why? Well, we know from Brother Jack Parker's testimony, he was one of those kids, and he ends up being a missionary to Japan, and he was talking to a missionary to Japan. Listen, don't underestimate God's plan to reach the world with the gospel. So if you're there, stand with me for the reading of God's word. Chapter number 4. We're not going to read the entire chapter, although the entire chapter plays into this. We are going to focus on a specific part of this. So the Bible says there in verse number 12, this is Brother Paul speaking, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, not by his feelings, but this is what God told him to write. And it's this: I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now that's a verse we love to pull out of there. But he's talking about serving the Lord for the gospel's sake is the reason he's saying that. I can do all of these things by God's strength, not by my own strength, and through Christ. Now, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Do you see that? No church, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, which was right after he had been in Philippi, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you so much already for the praise that's gone up to you in song, in giving, by participation, in fellowship. Lord, thank you. I pray that you've been already honored and glorified, and the angels have looked upon this and recognized your wisdom and marveled at your wisdom because of what goes on here this morning. And I pray now as we approach your word, first of all, that you'd give me unction and understanding, clarity of thought, the ability to communicate properly, Lord, that strength is what I need from you, because any of this without you is absolutely nothing. And so I pray for that. And then I pray for the hearer, that every heart would be opened to what the Word of God would do in them, whether they're born again or not, that when the Holy Spirit speaks to them because of the Word, that they would respond properly. Those who are unsaved, I pray they'd recognize their need for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then those who are here this morning who are born again, members of this church, who've been involved in missions or maybe are not involved in missions, that even right now their heart would be open to the work that the Holy Spirit would do in their hearts concerning giving to missions. Lord, thank you that you give us this opportunity. I pray that we would not take this grace lightly, but that we would consider, as the song said, that you're worthy of everything we could give. Well, thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So Paul begins to speak to them, and he's conveying to them, as he's already conveyed, about their giving, and he's commending them here. And so he talks about the fact that he really has learned. Now, you got to catch this, because sometimes, as I told you early on in the week when we were together, the one man who came to me and said that do you believe that missions is a Ponzi scheme? Well, I'm going to tell you that, are there people that mistreat God's money? Yeah, some of them are sitting in this room. If you don't tithe, you're mistreating God's money.
Amen.
If you don't give offerings, you're mistreating God's money. Why? Because God gave it. People don't like that. It's very offensive, but it's in the Bible. What you have belongs to God. So there's this idea that sometimes missionaries are living high on the hog. Well, I don't know. We've had a lot of missionaries come through since I've been a pastor. And then as a kid, you know, I grew up in the Baptist church and I saw missionaries. That's the one thing I love about being independent Baptist. We get to see our missionaries. We get to approve our missionaries. We get to love our missionaries. We get to pray for our missionaries. And then they get to come back and report, and we get to go, look what God did.
Amen.
Instead of going, oh, they're a bunch of bums. If one person receives the gospel and begins to grow, that's way more than was there before the missionary went there. A lot of times we read, we're looking, we're saying, well, they're not doing anything. They haven't had anybody saved. Excuse me, in some of these places, and I'm sure in the Czech Republic, it is going to be a long haul. There's going to have to be some persuading and convincing from the Scriptures. And the Lord is going to have to do the work. I just love the attitude. I'm just going to go cast seed. It doesn't matter where it falls. It's going to fall on good ground. Why? Well, that's what the Bible says. It does fall on good ground. So I don't look at the results. What I'm looking at is, are they praying for people? Are they meeting people? Is there someone that God has really affected by their relationship? Yeah. Almost every missionary letter you read is going to be like that. Almost everyone. Are they living high on the hog? Have you seen some of the cars they drive? Do you know the places they're going? They're not going to places that are what any of us would want to go to. Twyla and I are going to the Philippines in September. She's been asked to speak at a ladies' conference there, and then I was asked to tag along and preach. And so we joke with each other. I said, this is your gig. It's not my gig. And so, but we're going. I've been to the Philippines a couple of times by myself. And I'm just going to tell you flat out, I'm a baby. A third world country does not appeal to me to live in and be a missionary. But every time I go there, every time I go to the Philippines, I see people that are ripe to hear the gospel. And I get to preach. And they, folks, I'm telling you, they flood down the aisle. I've been in services where no one was standing. Everyone was on their knees, crying out to God, begging that he would use them, begging that they would be obedient. And this is not fake. It's not something that is ingrained into them. It's the Holy Spirit of God getting a hold of people's lives. I'm just going to tell you, in most churches, that does not happen anywhere in America. And so I go there and I'm weeping. First of all, I'm weeping because I'm thinking, how could God possibly use whatever I said But then secondly, that they're so willing to break before God. That's what your desire is for your missionaries, but it doesn't happen everywhere. And so here's what Paul said. Doesn't matter where I am, what's going on, I'm okay. Listen to what he said. I've learned. I'm fine. No. It may not look good to you. I'm in prison. It's fine. Why? Well, because it's for the gospel's sake. And I may be getting stoned, but guess what? That's for the gospel's sake. I may go hungry. It's okay. I've been full before. Don't you wish you could have that attitude? Like right now, I'm really hungry. I'm wishing I could feel full, but I can't. Now, I'm not lying. My stomach's growling because our church service is just about over because we start 30 minutes before you do. And so, but Brother Copes is preaching today, so it's probably going to be a long, 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 long time. So you pray for the folks back home. And then you pray for yourselves. But anyway, but I'm telling you, I want, when I see Paul's testimony, I want that to be part of my life. But most missionaries I know, when you talk to them, it's the greatest thing that they've ever done, and they wouldn't do anything else, and they are so thankful. And they don't ever stand around and talk about the horrible things that have happened to them. They're always telling you about this person who got saved and this person. And there are, I know Brother Richard Hester started our church back in the 50s. Now he's been a missionary, and he's literally getting ready to die on the mission field. He's at that age. He's in his mid-90s, and he and his wife are very close to the ends of their lives. They bought plots to be buried there. They bought a house there. They became citizens there and said, we're dying here. Yeah. Most missionaries do that. So don't ever get in your mind that every missionary is a bad missionary. Just like every church is not a bad church, every preacher is not a bad preacher, every organization of Baptist, every independent Baptist church I've ever known has had trouble. Well, congratulations. So has every other religious organization in that's ever been thought up. So don't get your mind on, well, it's not. So let's settle in this. Paul is establishing something. I don't need money because I want money. That's not why I need it. But he does say, notwithstanding. So no matter how I am, look, this is how you have jumped in and participated. This is how your heart is toward God. This is how your life reflects the gospel. This is how you have decided that you're going to be a participant in the ministry. This is what you did. Now, first of all, let's establish this. Individuals have to do this in the church before the entire church can do it. Here's what I know. Sad to say, like I told everyone here, if you haven't been here during the week, I've been a Baptist since I was born. So when I talk bad about Baptists, it's because I be one with a capital B. And I'm not talking bad because I want to. I'm talking bad because it's sad. Here's what I know. I just know this. Not every person in this church gives. But I want to stop right there and say, but I'm thankful for the people who do.
Amen.
I don't know. I haven't really asked the preacher. I don't ask any preacher this because then it would make me envious. And so I never said, is there one person in your church that gives $100,000 to missions a year? Never ask it, but have never really needed to because I don't know very many churches where one person gives $100,000, but there are some. And I just want to say glory to God that that person would do it.
Amen.
And if there's a person in this church, glory to God, because that tells you about their heart, that it's not all wrapped up in the world. I don't know that, but I do know this. The more hands that are given to giving, the greater the giving is. If everybody gives something, it's better than only a few people giving something. So you gave, let's look at this. This is where you could say, well, we gave $320,480 last year to missions. We're bad to the bone. We're so awesome. God, you're so lucky that I go to a church that gives like that. And I gave $5. I'm right in the big middle of that. What you're going to see here is you're not part of giving until you're giving.
Right.
And remember, According to Scripture, you're not really giving an offering until you're already obeying.
Amen.
So here's what he says. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. When he says ye did communicate, he doesn't just mean that they sent him money, but they sent him helpers. They sent him Epaphroditus. They sent him people to go with him. Not only that, but they prayed for him. Do you know what these missionaries have all said? We need you to pray for us. You know why? Any person in the ministry worth their salt recognizes that without prayer, they are nothing. I begged the church to pray for me as I came and preached this week. Why? Because I'm telling you, standing here before people that look at you mostly like this, or like this, is not easy. Because you want to stand next to them and go, hey! But they might have a heart attack, and then how would you feel? I'd feel bad. There are some people that get upset when a preacher starts doing antics. They think he's trying to entertain. I have no desire to entertain you. I'm just trying to catch your attention to help you to know that you and I are supposed to be involved in something that's not only bigger than us and better than us, but God has given us such an opportunity.
Amen.
To think about these missionaries and pray for them. You probably, I know this because the preacher has asked others to ask you to add to your prayer list. I encourage Temple Baptist Church every Wednesday night. We have an actual prayer meeting. We also have preaching, but we actually have prayer meeting because that's what we call it. We get down on our knees before God and we take requests and we pray. And we pray on Sunday mornings in a men's prayer meeting. And we get together and we take those same lists and we pray over them. And I encourage the people in the church, don't just write down people's names. Take these home and pray over every individual. Why? Because they know that they need prayer. And it would be right for us to do that. Every missionary, you should have a missionary that you pray for once, or maybe if you pray at every meal, hopefully you do, that you would pray for a different missionary every time. Why? So that you can pray for your missionaries through every month. Pray for them. Why? They know they need your prayer support.
Amen.
But they also need your financial support.
That's right.
Why? Well, because regardless of what we think, money is necessary and it's making the world go round. Does anybody go to work here for free? Like you love to go to work so much that if they didn't pay you, you'd go anyway. Don't raise your hand because I don't even want to know. Most people want to be paid for what they do.
Amen.
Well, guess what? Missionaries don't get paid. They depend on support. Well, why is that necessary? Because it requires the more people that are involved. So you, by faith, have taken on missionaries all week this week. Here's what the preacher's thinking. By faith, more people are going to get involved. Why? Because they're going to do what the people in Philippi did. They want to get in. So you've met the Sandalas here this week. You want to get in and from the very beginning. I love it when missionaries, I've been at Temple Baptist Church for 23 years, but the church has been there for 70 years. This will be literally our 70th missions conference coming up in October. And I love it when missionaries come back and say, I love these words because they're Bible words. You have supported us from the very beginning. And here's what, and you never missed your support. You go, why are you bragging? I'm not bragging on the church. I'm bragging on God. When you get involved, there are going to be people who are going to be able to look back and say, you've been involved in the very beginning. Wouldn't that be great? This church, they got it. And from the very beginning, they were involved. That's what he says about the church of Philippi. Why? Because their hearts were striving together for the gospel. So first of all, you're not giving unless you're giving.
Amen.
That's what he recognizes from the beginning. The second part, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me any as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift. So I'm going to go back up here and help you, and I check this out. He says, giving and receiving. Well, wait a minute. So was it that they were giving and he was receiving? Or was it that they were giving and they were receiving? So he explains it. What were they doing? He says this, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So the preacher said this the other night, because he almost preached the message, but he said this the other night, that giving is profitable not only for the person receiving it, but for the person giving. Amen. Well, how is it profitable? Here it is. Most of us, we will witness to the people that we encounter in our lives, and maybe sometimes we'll go outside of our realm and we'll have the opportunity to witness to other people either by door knocking or whatever. But most of us, just like the missionaries, are going to witness to people that we encounter and build a relationship with. Now, when I give to missions and I'm concerned about the gospel going out, every soul that comes to Christ is fruit that abounds. The Bible says abounds. That means it springs up and it's bigger like a fountain. It just springs up out of my giving to missions. The preacher said this the other night, that Brother Parker was supported before he actually became a missionary, because you support Heartland Baptist Bible College. That's the fruit. Fruit is abounding. Now we have a man going to Japan. We have a man going to the Czech Republic. We have a man going out to California, to Santa Barbara. We have a man going to Alaska. Well, what does that mean? You're not just getting return on your giving from one area. Now you're getting it from multiple areas. How many missionaries do you support? 85 missionaries. Somewhere today, if you give to missions, hear me. If you give to missions, fruit abounded to your account. Somebody got saved today. You don't know where. You don't know who. You're going to hear about in one of your missions reports. And you can sit there and say, man, I'm glad I gave. Why? Well, I got fruit. Amen. Watch. Please listen. All I did was give. And God gave the increase. I didn't plant any seed. I didn't do any watering. I just get to receive the bounty, which most of us do when we eat at our table, because most of the people in this room are not farmers. But somebody worked the land. Somebody raised the crops. Cattle were slaughtered. Glory to God. Hogs were turned into bacon. I mean, pork is the other white meat. Chicken laid eggs, and you didn't do any of it. I love it when somebody hands me a carton of eggs. You know what I know? They harvested those eggs and I didn't have to, because I know where they come from. And I have no desire. I had to do it when I was a kid. I've seen cattle slaughtered. I've stood in the packing plants. I have no desire, but I'm sure glad for people who do it. Amen. And guess what? I have no problem paying the price for them to do it. Amen. But I sure do reap the benefits. Can you imagine? I love that he uses the analogy of fruit, because we can catch this. Jesus told the disciples in John chapter number 15, without me ye can do nothing. But several times he says, bear fruit, bear fruit, bear more fruit, bear much fruit. Why? Well, I can't bear much fruit on my own. But when I'm with 85 other missionaries, it's amazing what God can do with the money that he's laid on my heart to give, so that those missionaries can go. And the greater my faith is, the greater the return is. Amen. We sometimes get so caught up in the fact of our own selves that we don't give. It's our need that matters. But it truly is not our need that matters. What matters is the gospel going forth. So that second thing he says there is, thank you so much that I can give back to you by you seeing fruit that abounds. So here's what we know just about Thessalonica, that he went to Thessalonica and they really began to become interested in the gospel. And when you read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, they turned from gods that were no gods to the one true God, and it was life changing for them. But then he went from there to Berea, where in Berea they were better than those in Thessalonica, and they went to the scriptures to prove whether these things were true, and they began to grow, and churches were planted, and people and fruit abounded, and people were saved, and it was because one church, one, communicated with him. Now, if he'd had many, it would have been better. But at least he had one. You know, the truth is, the great thing about missions and independent Baptist churches is that many churches come on board to send out someone to plant a church or send out a missionary, where we couldn't do it all alone. And it doesn't depend on one group or one church alone. But thank God when there's a church that gets it and says, we are all in. All of us are in. Then he says this, but I have, verse 18, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. That verse there, just like the previous verse that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, we often take out of this context. But if you leave it in context and you listen to whom he is speaking, you begin to understand something. They were very needy. Remember? But they gave more than he thought they could or should. They gave out of their deep poverty. So now go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And the preacher touched on this. So the church at Corinth was very wealthy, and they had not given what they had promised a year ago. And we're going to get a lot into this tonight, but they had not given what they had promised. So he's addressed the people in Philippi and he's thanked them, and then he's made this statement, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in the world, according to his ability to sustain you, according to his riches in glory. All right? So these people here in 2 Corinthians are still thinking about, got to hold on to that. Not sure the fruit is worth it. Not sure that I can reach out. So here's what he says in verse number 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. I'm just going to stop and make one comment here. The song that we heard this morning right before the message, that's exactly, he's saying, this is what Jesus did. And if anything, your mind should be thinking this: I could never outgive the gift that Jesus Christ gave me, but I'm sure going to try. So he says then in verse number 10, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. So how does God supply all your needs by his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. How does he do that? Well, first of all, he's already given us salvation. But more importantly, as the song, I just love this song, went right with the message. And then the last wonderful grace of Jesus, we sing about it, but we don't consider it. Why should I give, Brother Ron? Why is it such a big deal that we give to missions? Why is it that we give to see mission, the gospel spread around the world? Why? Because this is God's plan to support you in your needs physically and especially spiritually. So we always say, boy, I wish God would meet my need. I wish God would meet my need. And sometimes we get all bogged down. I mean, hey, tax season's coming. I don't know. And I know I'm going to owe taxes. I don't know where we're going to get this. Or the rent's coming due. Boy, Lord, I wish you'd meet my need. I wish you'd meet. Do you know what? What God wants to meet, first of all, and has designed his plan to do is meet your spiritual needs so that you will depend on him and you'll give properly and you'll witness properly and your life will reflect the gospel properly so that no matter what state you're in therewith, you will be content. Doesn't matter what state I'm in. Well, my body aches. My body's old. My body can't take this anymore. I'm so tired of being alive. I'm so tired. It's just, and it gets hard. You know what you need? Grace. Amen. How do you get it? By your obedience. The more you obey, the more grace God gives you to obey. So that as you obey, no matter come what may, you go, well, that sounds like some kind of holy roller, spiritual, God, you just pray down a blessing. No. I'm not talking about praying down blessings. I'm talking about being obedient and watching God bless. Did he see what he says? He says, so that you and your giving would supply their need and so that they can supply your need. Well, think about it. How could they possibly supply their need? They were the people who needed the money. The money, the need that they needed had nothing to do with what the Corinthians needed, because the Corinthians needed nothing and they basically admitted that they needed nothing. But because they were withholding, they were robbing themselves of God using his plan to support them in the area they needed most. And if you read 1 Corinthians, it's so that their lives would change by the grace of God, like the churches at Philippi and in Macedonia had changed because they were all in striving for the gospel. They were all in reflecting the gospel and becoming the gospel of Christ. They were all in committing themselves to giving themselves to God and to making sure that their love was proven in their sincerity. And here's, he said, see, this church did it and they don't have anything. Here's a fact. Filipino churches today are supporting more missionaries than American churches. Do you know that the average Filipino only makes about $1,200 to $1,300 a year? And yet they're supporting more missionaries around the world. The Filipino missionaries, there are more Filipino missionaries around the world now than there are American missionaries. Statistically. Now, I don't know about you. I wasn't around in the 50s and 60s. I was born in 62, so I don't have any idea about love, peace, war. I don't have any, you know, I wasn't old enough to care. I was 8 years old, and my brothers and I were playing BB gun wars, shooting at each other with BB guns. So just playing cowboys and Indians wasn't real until you got shot with a BB. But it hurt them. I never got hit. But and I don't know who shot him. Mom, I wasn't involved. Anyway, it did. If you think about it, I don't know about all that, but I do remember a little bit in the 70s growing up. I do remember a little bit during the 80s and 90s. And I do remember this, that there were, please listen to me. There were young men and women being called out of churches just like this one by the droves to go to foreign fields. And in the 60s, those young men and women went out and they started churches. And in the 50s, and those Filipino people that are there now, the nationals, are actually descendants of those missionaries. Right. See how the fruit grew? But now there are less American missionaries in the Philippines and more Filipino missionaries going out of the Philippines, and they have got to be one of the poorest countries I've ever been in my life, except for India. I know that India is, but you know what? They are the happiest people. They come to church. They sit. If you don't preach an hour and 25, 30 minutes, they've been robbed. And they want it in the morning. They want it in the evening. And they even come for Bible studies in the afternoon. No, I see all of y'all's eyes glazing over. I mean, I could never take that. It's too much Jesus. They can't get enough. And so you know what's happening? I'm talking about young men staying in the church, not going out and getting jobs, staying in the church, being trained by the pastor, going to foreign fields that Americans can't get into. Cambodia, Thailand, the 1040 window is full of them. And I asked one of the missionaries, he's a missionary to Tanzania. And I asked him, I said, "Brother John, please tell me, how is it that you can go to the field and live off of $1,200 a month and Americans can't?" And here's exactly what he said. Listen to me, Pastor. Filipino missionaries are willing to sleep in the dirt for the gospel. All the Americans want a bed. You can take that how you want to take it, but it broke me. Because I thought of Corinth, and I thought of Philippi, and it was the same thing. The people in Corinth were more concerned about themselves. The people in Philippi were way more concerned about the gospel. You know why? It changed their lives. They may have been poor, but they had everything. The people in Corinth, just like America, had everything. And very stingy. Because when you have everything, all you want is more. If you don't catch anything out of this mission conference, you catch this. How you live your life in your giving toward the gospel ministry, no matter what level of giving it is, most certainly will be reflected in the fruit that you will present at the throne. When we're judged at the Bema Seat of Christ, we're not taking our money, our houses, we're not taking our cars. We're taking the souls that by either directly or indirectly by us have been won to Christ and will stand with us there before Him. Your giving will be reflected at the throne. Your concern for the gospel will be measured by how you decided. Please listen to me. Please listen to me. Do not get mad. Do not shut this down. We're right at the end here. Do not go to sleep here. Don't do it. This is not only a warning to you, but it reminds me that if I want something more, then I desire the gospel to get out. God cannot meet the need that I have that is the greatest, which is to give me grace to live in this life as a believer and a testimony to the gospel and a person who is a giver. I need grace for that. I can't grow in that grace unless I'm obeying in the first part. And the very first primary thing that you and I must do is spread the gospel. And I've witnessed it with my own eyes. The people in the Philippines are more concerned about the gospel than where they live. I've been to some of their churches, their tin. I've been in their houses, their dirt floors. But we'll walk out of there and the pastor will say, "This young man's training to be a pastor in such and such area. This young man's training to be a missionary." I say, "Man, well, I mean, what does he live on?" He said, "He lives on about $20, $25 a month." Why? Well, because he believes that, and I'm weeping. I'm not standing there going, oh, man, I'm glad somebody wants to do that. I'm weeping because you know what I know? In Corinth over here, please listen, that's no longer the case in 2024. It used to be. And we've never, you didn't live in the 50s. You're not old enough. I didn't. We didn't see all that stuff that went on. But we're sure reapers of it. Isn't it sad that 2024, well, let's just make the final comparison. Here it is. Is America what it was back in the 50s? I would ask you, is it because of the politicians? Some of you would say yes. I would say no. I would ask you if it's your neighbor. Some of you might say yes because your neighbor is a jerk. Or some of you might say no. I would say no. You know what it is? It's because American churches have stopped placing the premium on the gospel being spread. If you're a person who has, I'm not calling you out. I'm talking about churches made up of individuals. We come to church, we sit on our laurels, we see that the money that we gave last year and go, man, that's a lot. I mean, our church doesn't need to give more. No, if everybody got involved and gave something, the church would give a bunch more. Why? Because you cannot imagine when you start giving what God does in your heart and how He changes it. And you know what the people in Corinth still needed in 2 Corinthians? The same thing they needed in 1 Corinthians, a heart change. And typically the last part to get changed in any believer's heart is the giving part. That's a bummer. He's going to spend a whole nother chapter where we'll go tonight making the final comparison. And he's going to talk to them about what God's design is and why God designed it that way. But in chapter 8, he's saying, you don't understand. You got to reason this out. You're giving so that they can give back to you, so that God can give back to you, so that you can have the grace that you need to live in this life. And if I need anything today, I need grace because everything's messed up. And so I've got to get my number one focus back over here. It's not about where you live, Ron. It's not about what you drive, Ron. It's not about your friends or your influence. What it is about your heart for the gospel. Does that drive you? The church at Philippi slept in the dirt. The church in Corinth slept in very nice beds. And they were very content there. So when it came time to let their fingers off the money, they were still holding it tightly. And Paul says, if you'll let it go and do what God's put in your heart that you said you were willing to do, you can't imagine what He can do for you. This isn't faith giving. This is not planting a faith seed. This is really grace giving, allowing God to minister grace to you as you minister grace to others. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for your attention this morning. Just want to ask some questions and then we'll have an invitation. Invitation is an opportunity for you to just respond to the Lord. How many of you here this morning would say, Brother Ron, I know for sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven, and I'm thankful for that. Would you lift your hand as a testimony to that and just give grace, just give a little bit of a prayer there while your hand's up, thanking the Lord for your salvation. If you're saved,